And so that was the purpose of this song. It's here to teach and equip people. So it's not just a song that's being sung, but it's also a song that is being used to teach and equip people. We also see that it was done by the sons of Korah. And so these guys were specifically the worship leaders for the Jewish people. And there's a powerful story of redemption that happens with this family. And we don't have time to go into it, but it's a powerful time. And so these guys are the worship leaders. And so these guys are the good-looking guys that stand with just that soothing voice and their hat backward. Let's call this guy Shim Shady. And so that's the worship leader, maybe, who wrote this one. And so that's the guy who's writing this psalm. And as we continue on, we see that this is a psalm of lament about life which has drastically changed. And so this guy has gone through a very difficult time, and we'll dive into this a little bit deeper as we continue on. And we also see the author, as he's talking about this drastic change that has happened in his life, he's recognizing that he has become cast down, bowed down, discouraged, or a word that we all understand, the word depressed. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the topic of depression, because for many of us, this is a topic that we've heard about, we've thought about, maybe we've experienced, and it's an important topic that has become even more important in these times of the pandemic and quarantine. And here's an excerpt from an article from the Washington Post that says, a third of Americans are showing signs of clinical anxiety or depression, Census Bureau data shows. The most definitive and alarming sign yet are the psychological toll exacted by the coronavirus pandemic. And so this isn't just, hey, like, let's just try and paint a darker picture of what's going on. There's legit statistical evidence of the fact that what's happening with the pandemic, the quarantine, everything going on with the coronavirus, that more and more people, a third of Americans, are showing signs. And this was back in May. So May 26th is when this was happening. So much has happened since then. So much has happened. So May 26th was, I think, the day of, or maybe the day after, the murder of George Floyd. And then so much has happened with all the protests and stuff that's been going on since then. And so maybe even more people are being impacted by it. And before I continue, I want to make something very clear, that depression isn't just a psychological thing that we talk about and you go through in the mind, but it's also a physiological condition that impacts both the body and the mind. And what I want to say is, you know, and here are some symptoms of people that are going through depression. This is taken from the Mayo Clinic website. You can look up here on the screen and see. And I want to encourage you, if you are feeling some of these symptoms, don't like diagnose yourself. Don't be like, hey, I think I'm depressed. But what I want to encourage you to do is to seek medical professional help if possible. Or if nothing else, please talk to someone after the celebration. Just have that conversation. I really strongly encourage that, and you'll hear more why during the message. And so this message isn't to say, hey, everything that Pastor Rebbe is going to talk about is going to fix my depression. It's not that. I do believe in the power of medical profession, whether it's medicine or just counseling, and those things are important. But I also believe that there is a spiritual role that can be played to address people that are struggling with depression. And so Pastor Sam of the summer and others, we went through this series on the book of Psalms, and I had the privilege of preaching one of those as well. But I want to talk about Psalm 42, and I want to go a little bit deeper into this message. And the reason why is I really like how this psalmist communicates his feelings. He really expresses himself in a way that I think really illustrates and helps us really connect with what it's like to go through depression. And before I continue on in the message, I know this is impacting some of us, maybe a lot of us here, or those of you who are watching from the live stream. Some of you have gone through very challenging experiences since when it was March. March 14th, I think, is when our country kind of shut down. And it's not just people who are, you know, outside of the church. People inside the church experience depression. There's people that you know, family members, friends, coworkers, that are going through this. And there's also some of you who are here or who are tuning in that maybe you're not a Christ follower, and you understand, you resonate with these struggles of depression. And I'm believing and I'm hoping that today's word through this passage will be able to give you some hope, some encouragement, and hopefully some instruction on how to deal with these struggles of depression. And so the first point I want to talk about is, why have I become cast down? Why have I become cast down? And so the first thing that we see happening is that we see there are some circumstantial challenges that the psalmist experienced. And in verse 4, it says here that these things I remember as I pour out my soul. how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. And so for whatever reason, we don't fully understand why, but this guy who used to lead the people in worship is no longer able to anymore. And so in some ways, he's been going through some form of exile. We don't know what happened, but we know for sure that he's no longer able to do something that he enjoyed, whether it was leading the people or being able to experience God in the midst of being in the temple, that there's something very powerful of being able to worship God and to lead the people in that time of worship that he was missing out on. And so circumstantially, there's some challenges that this guy is facing. And like I shared, every single one of us, we all have gone through some circumstantial challenges because of this pandemic, because of this quarantine. Some of you are facing challenges at work, whether you lost a job or there's a promotion that you were in line for that they had to take away because of budget issues. Maybe there was a job offer that you had that you lost, or other things that have come up. You had this awesome trip planned out that you're going to do this summer, and then all of a sudden you couldn't do it anymore. Every single one of us has gone through challenges circumstantially because of what's going on with the quarantine. And it's not just, you know, like stuff with work, but even the fact that we're finally gathered together here. I think it's only been a few weeks, but as a church, you'd only been able to gather virtually, whether it's through a live stream or whatever means you do for life group. And so life has changed. And a lot of the plans you had for your summer are no longer happening, especially now because the summer is finally over and you're wondering what's going on. And again, this is what's happening. And I believe this is one of the reasons why we become cast down, is because for some reason, there's some circumstantial changes that are happening that we had no control over. Maybe some of you are planning for your wedding, and then all of a sudden things change. You're hoping to have this awesome, beautiful ceremony with like, and if you've ever been to an Indian wedding, it's funny because people talk about like how they want to have a large wedding. It's like 200 people, right? And I'm like, that's small. Indian weddings are like 1,000 people. And I'm not exaggerating. I've been to a wedding that had 1,200 people at this wedding. And so therefore, that is a violation of every state's quarantine laws. And so you can't do that. And not just weddings, but even one of the most challenging things is some of us have lost loved ones. And we couldn't properly say goodbye. We couldn't go, whether they passed away from COVID or other reasons. And so we couldn't go and just be able to grieve with the family or even grieve with others as we've had that loss. Not only circumstantial challenges, but we also see relational challenges were happening. That this person was experiencing relational challenges, that he was experiencing the challenge of being alone. I want to read verse 4 again in the ERV. It says, "My heart breaks as I remember the pleasant times in the past, when I walked with the crowds as I led them up to God's temple." And also Psalm 42, verse 9a, it says, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" A lot of us have experienced this. One of the main things about the quarantine is you're not supposed to be with people. You're not supposed to interact with people because you don't know if they have the virus. You have to wear masks. And so it's just this awkward moment of just feeling alone. Many of you, maybe you live alone or you've been working from home alone, or just different things that actual just enjoyment of being able to interact with people is no longer there. And I like the way that he phrased this in verse 9a, because I really believe that one of the ways God just communicates his presence is through community, through the body of Christ, through people, and we're not able to experience that anymore because of all that's going on. And the interesting thing is, maybe you're one of the ones that didn't enjoy going to church. You're the ones that came out to life group, but you're just kind of like checked out. And now that all of a sudden life group is like virtual, you realize, man, you really miss life group. You miss being around those people that made those corny jokes or the people that brought those awesome refreshments all the time. And you're missing out on that. And you're missing that relational experience, and you're feeling alone. You're feeling like no one knows exactly all that's going on in my life. For some of you, you haven't been able to see your family. I'm thankful my family's here in Troy, and I'm able to see them. But the weird thing is, like, because of my mom's health, I'm not able to, like, I have to wear a mask the whole time I'm in my parents' place. Then every time my mom gets close, like, we all freak out and what's going on. And every time I visited in the past, I'd always get a hug from my mom. And I haven't been able to hug her since like March. And I know that might seem like, oh, Pastor Rebbe, like I'll hug you, what's the big deal? But like there's something really significant, important about being able to do that. And so you feel that pain, that loneliness. There's that relational challenge that many of us are experiencing. And then lastly, I wanna phrase this oppositional challenges. Now, that might be redundant, but you'll understand what I'm talking about here. I wanted to keep the challenges in those points. But in Psalm 42, verses 9b to 10, it says, "Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" It is important for us to realize that even though we might not have physical enemies, that there is opposition that we're facing. There's always an opposition that we're facing, that there is an enemy who is here to kill, destroy, and attack us with thoughts and lies in our minds. But also, I'm sure that many of you have experienced in some ways difficulties with adversaries or people, whether it's at your workplace, people that used to be friends that have now meant to do you harm, just different experiences that you've had in your life. And so this is what the psalmist was experiencing. He was experiencing this attack from the enemy that was lying and continuing to place these thoughts. Or maybe there were people that were heckling him and saying, "Hey, where's your God now? The God that you worship, the God that you enjoyed celebrating." And something I wanted to share, and I think Pastor Sam alluded to this as well, something I'm just burdened for, especially for those of you who are part of the Black community. This past week with the attack on Jacob Blake, and we were watching all throughout this week, and there are these athletes that would come on from the NBA, the coaches, and as they were sharing, they were just in tears. These are guys who are playing, and they were in tears because they're like, "Why doesn't anyone care? Why does no one care about us?" And what I want to tell you is that you have a God that cares. You have a God that is hearing every prayer and sees all the pain that you're experiencing. You have a God that knows all that's going on and understands. And you also have a church community here as well that is with you that maybe can't relate and understand, but there are people that care. But it feels like, man, not only do I feel alone, but also the world around me is crashing down. Sorry, I got a cough, so I'm going to turn the mic over. Hold on. Sorry, they took my temperature, so I'm not sick, but if you're worried. And so therefore, this is something that we see, different challenges that were going on, circumstantially, relationally, or even opposition in our lives, and this is what the psalmist was facing. Now, important question we must ask is this. Life is filled with these kind of moments. Life is filled with challenges that are circumstantial, relational. Everyone's experienced it. You've experienced it growing up. You've gone through this. But what about these moments leads a person to become cast down or depressed? What about these specific moments that this psalmist experienced, or maybe you're experiencing, have happened that have caused you to become depressed, to become cast down? It was back in June when I preached here, and I shared about the fact that when God created us, we were created as hope-based creatures, creatures that were created to have hope in something, that we all are created to hope in something that was ultimately to be satisfied fully in God and God alone. And I shared that with you guys, and so hopefully you understand that. And I really believe that we understand that hope isn't just something, "Oh yeah, I need that." It's just something that I need. But I love the lyrics of this song, and it's a song called Anchor by Hillsong. And it says here, "I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. Through every storm, I will hold to you." And as I thought about that, I realized that hope is that anchor for us. That in the midst of the most difficult and challenging times, what we hope in becomes that anchor in the midst of those difficult circumstances. And so that's not just the lyrics of the song, but I really believe that that's something that we can really resonate with and understand. And the challenge with this is this. What is it that you place your hope in? I know many of you here, you're Christ followers, and you go to church, and you believe in that, and that's great. But the question is, even as a Christ follower, the question we must ask ourselves is, what have you placed your hope in? See, church, hope isn't found in a job or money, a relationship. Or even this morning, I went on a run, and I was listening to a message, and it was really good because hope's not found in the results of an election that's coming in November. No matter what candidate you hope wins, hope is not found in these things. And I love how Paul David Tripp says it here. He says, "You see, hope is not a situation, a location, a feeling, or a relationship. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus." And I think that's where we see the challenges that people face when they go into struggles with depression, is because they put their hope in something that when that storm came, that anchor that they put their hope in wasn't able to really carry them through the midst of that storm. Or maybe they put their hope in something and that was their anchor, and then that thing that they put their hope in went away. And all of a sudden, they're anchorless in the midst of a difficult situation. But we see that ultimate hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. See, Jesus went through circumstantial challenges. He came here as a Son of God, a sinless man, but was handed over, arrested, beaten, crucified, and died. He went through relational challenges as well. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was abandoned by the rest of his friends. Even on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we see as well the oppositional challenges that Satan meant to harm, to thwart the work of God by destroying the Son of God and handing him over to be crucified. But we're thankful for God and his redemption and his faithfulness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, it says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." For a moment, can I invite you? What is it that you place your hope in? As you're here listening to this message, as I take a drink of water, what is it that you place your hope in? Even as a Christ follower, what are some of the things that are going through your mind and your heart right now that you're like, hey, I'm a Christ follower, I believe in Christ, but I'm really hoping in this. I'm really hoping to find that special someone. I'm really hoping to get that job. I'm really hoping for things to go well between my dad, between me and my mom. You know, I want to share my personal story of a struggle with depression. And I don't like sharing this story because it was a very dark, difficult period of my life. And some of you here might know it. Some of you that are listening will know it. And it's interesting that Andrew's here because Andrew was my roommate during this time and he was not the cause, so don't worry. But it was several years ago. Obviously, it started with the girl, right? And so there was this girl that I liked, and I really liked her. And I really was confident that she was the one. And the crazy thing was, everyone I talked to, different pastors, different friends of mine, and I shared this with them, they were like, dude, I see it. This is the one. It's like the perfect match. Your gifts, your talents with her, it'd be great. And so this was the conversation that I was having, and then even my family was like, hey, this is the one. And so more and more, I was just very confident that as I was about to meet up with her and share my feelings to her, and I realize now that I look back, I didn't realize that even though I was a Christ follower, I was serving in the church, I was sharing all these things, I realized that my hope was put in the fact that this girl would be the one. And what ended up happening was I met up with her and I shared my feelings to her. And then instantly you could tell by the change in the countenance of her face that she was not interested. Not only was she not interested, in some ways, and I don't know, I never got to ask her about it, like she couldn't look at me in the eye for the rest of that meal. It was a very uncomfortable meal. If you've ever, some people just don't do that, but eventually they look at you in the eye, right? But she would not. And at that moment, I realized that obviously this was not going to work out. And then began my journey into literally 3 years of just struggling with depression. And I'm not joking about this, you know, like just throw this out there. That was a very dark period of my life. For those of you who know, I also work at the University of Michigan. I do IT. And so what would end up happening, I would go into work. I still have this office. I would go into work and I would sit at this corner of my office from like 8 to 8:30 a.m. before work really got going. And I'm not exaggerating. There'd be days I would just sit there just bawling my eyes out because I was just in so much pain. And I didn't know why. And I would go, and if you are familiar with the campus of University of Michigan on North Campus, there's an area called the Diag on North Campus. And so in the winter, I'd go walking around and just feeling so empty, so dark. And some of the symptoms that you saw up there, just having trouble sleeping. I would every day I would wake up at like 5:30 a.m. and I was just alert instantly and I couldn't fall back asleep. One of the things I really pride myself in, which is wrong, I know pride's wrong, but I have a really good memory. And I can multitask, I could do a lot of those things, but for whatever reason, my mind was just so overwhelmed and I couldn't concentrate, I couldn't remember things. And to be honest, there's a long period of time that I didn't know I was depressed. I didn't know what was going on. And I share this because I realize now as I look back, the reason why I struggle with those thoughts, those difficulties, was because I placed my hope in something apart from Jesus Christ. I really thought that she was going to be the one. And because of that, I went on this journey of darkness and difficulty. And I'm sharing that because, hey, like Pastor Rebbe loves talking about his struggles. No, I'm sharing this because I want you to understand that, hey, it's okay to admit if you're struggling with depression. It's okay to admit that this might be something that you're going through, that you're experiencing. And so before we go on to the last point, can I ask you, what have you put your hope in apart from Jesus Christ? I'm not questioning whether or not you believe in salvation in Jesus and Jesus alone, but I'm wondering, is there something that you put your hope in apart from Jesus? And how sure are you of the anchor that you have in the midst of life's storms? You know, I wish I could come up here and announce this breaking news that the rest of 2020 is going to be great. I wish I could tell you that everything's going to be great and tomorrow the virus is going to end and we can go back to, and it's not the case. There are probably more difficult and challenging times to come. There are still storms that many of us will face, whether it's this year or in the years to come. And the question I want to ask you before we continue on with the last point is, what is it that you've placed your hope in? Where is your anchor in the midst of this life? First point was, why have we become cast down? And what I want to close out with is the last point. The second one, it says here, how can I respond to a cast down soul? How can I respond to a cast down soul? And this is a very important topic. This is an important point because no matter what happens, if you're going through struggles with depression, whether you know it or not, you're medicating those feelings in some way. Whether you know it or not, there's something that you're doing to medicate those feelings because you don't like feeling that way. And so what I want to do is I really want to focus in on God's word and really discover from this passage what are ways that we can deal with the pain and the challenges we're experiencing with depression. And the first thing that I think is going to be important is express your grief in prayer. Express your grief in prayer. I don't have time, and I want to encourage you to listen to Pastor Sam's message. I think it was back in May, the end of May, when he talked about this passage. But I love the way that this author just describes his feelings and his struggles. In verse 2, it says, my soul thirsts for God. Verse 3, my tears have been my food. Verse 9, why have you forgotten me? And I love the way he expresses that because what I want to encourage you to do is I want you to express how you really feel to God. And you may be wondering here, hey, I've expressed that, but there's something very powerful about the way that he is so honest in dealing with the struggles of what he is feeling and how he communicates that back to God. It's not just going into prayer and being like, Father God, God, Father God, like this sucks, but he's just honest. He's expressing just the depths of his pain. And I want to challenge you, when's the last time you prayed this way? Now, it's important to realize this. When this guy was writing this, he wasn't like, hey, I'm writing the 42nd Psalm. He's like, man, this really stinks. I wish it was Psalm 1 or 2 that people would notice it more. He wasn't writing or intending. He was just expressing his heart. And then God used that and anointed it, and that's how why we're reading it. And so this is just this guy just pouring out his heart to God. And when's the last time we really did that? Express your grief. Like, God, this sucks. The pain that I'm feeling, I feel alone. God, I'm sick and tired of this pandemic. I'm sick and tired of being in quarantine. God, you don't know how difficult it is for me to go to work and the challenges that I face every time I go on, I'm fearful of getting sick. Just being able to express and pour out your heart to God in prayer. Because when you do so, you do it with a posture of humility and surrender to God. Like, you're not going to pray to God And you're not going to do it unless you have that humility and that posture of surrender. Why would you pray? And so the fact that he's praying these things, it shows his heart of surrender and of humility to God. And the reason why this is so important is because what we see happening throughout this psalm, as he's pouring out his heart, as he's expressing his grief, what you see happen is then God meets him and reminds him of God and his goodness. And that's the second part. Remind yourself of God's character. Like, he wasn't just sitting somewhere and he's like, okay, let me just pour out my heart to God and then I'll just write reminders of God. I really believe that God met him. And as he was pouring out his heart, then God showed up and told him and reminded him of God's character and God's goodness. And that's what we see happening all throughout the psalm. That as he pours out his heart, he shares his pain and frustration. God then meets him and he shares that. And we see in verse 6, the first thing that he's reminded of is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. Psalm 42, verse 6, I'm going to read in the Message translation. It says, "When my soul is in the dumps, I rehearse everything I know of you. From Jordan depths to Hermon heights, including Mount Mizar." And we're not exactly sure what the author is talking about here, but we're able to understand that he's remembering God's faithfulness in the midst of being in these places, whether it's for the people of Israel or even for himself. And it's important for us as we express ourselves, God will remind us of his faithfulness. God will remind us of his goodness and show up and point us to those things. That we must remember that even in the midst of the most difficult time that we experience, we can all stand here and proclaim that God's been faithful, that God's been good, even though times have been difficult. And again, every single one of us, we're in the same quarantine, we're in the same difficulty. But if you pause for a moment, can you look back and see God's faithfulness and goodness? The fact that, I mean, I don't know if you ever would have thought that we would be here right now, August 30th, outside, worshiping in the middle of Detroit. I never thought I'd be preaching in the city of Detroit. And it's all because of this, that God opened up this door for me to be here and for all of us to be here. And it's more than that. There's more than that. Every day that we have, God's been faithful, been good. Even yesterday, I had to grab dinner. I got to grab dinner with my parents and just the privilege of being able to enjoy dinner with them. That's just a gift that God's been showing me, his faithfulness. The next thing we see, not only God's faithfulness, but we also see God's sovereignty. Look closely. I'm going to read verse 7 in the ERV. It says here, "I hear the roar of the water coming from deep within the earth. It shouts to the water below as it tumbles down the waterfall. God, your waves come one after another, crashing all around and over me." This is a powerful point. Because when you read this in the beginning, he's talking about water. And he's talking about how I thirst for God. I long for God. But in this verse, what he's doing is he's talking about how now these waters are crashing all around him. But if you look at that second part of verse 7, it says, "God, your ways come one after another, crashing all around me and over me." What this guy is saying is, I know that the difficult times I'm experiencing, you're sovereign over, you're in control of. What he's remembering is that God is sovereign in the midst of the storm that he's experiencing. And that's something that we must know. You might not like me saying this, but God is sovereign and in control, and he allowed what we're experiencing now with the coronavirus and pandemic to happen. That God's in control. And you might be like, wait, what kind of God is this? Why would God allow the difficulties and the pains? And I love how John Piper helps us to understand God's sovereignty. It says here, "God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of 3 of them." Think about that. That God may be doing 10,000 things in your life, and you might be aware of 3. And so in God's infinite wisdom, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of me preaching here, in the midst of you guys setting up and breaking down every Sunday, that God is at work and doing something in your lives. That maybe someone is just passing by and they're going to hear the word Jesus and they're going to be encouraged by this. We don't know, but we know that God is an infinite God and he's sovereign. And when difficult times come in our lives and the world around us, there's a purpose and a plan for it, for our good and his glory. And that's what the author understood. That he understood that the waves that were crashing all around him were from God. And if they're from God, they're meant not for our harm, but for our good. And then lastly, we see as well, he's reminded of God's steadfast love. I love this, and I wish I had more time to go into this. You read that, and you're like, oh, steadfast love, what does that mean? Oh, big deal. That word is, in the original language, is just the hesed love of God. And you know that song, The Reckless Love of God? I forgot the exact title of that song. We sing that, and you're like, I don't remember the words now. I should have wrote them down. But you're like, somebody, Stanny. Yeah, all those words, right? And so you remember them, and this is the love that it's talking about, this love that is pursuing after, this love that is steadfast, that even when we're not faithful, God's love is faithful. That's the love that he's talking about here, and that love is there for me, that love is there in the midst of the most difficult and enduring, challenging times, that God is patient and ever faithful to love us, that when we're able to pour out our hearts and be honest, expressing our grief, we see that God comes and reminds us of his faithfulness. And what we need to do next, please just pay attention to this point. We must preach truth to your soul regularly. Preach truth to your soul regularly. This is it. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're like Pastor Sam or Pastor Ebby. They're not that good of a preacher. This is your chance to be a good preacher. Because whether you know it or not, every morning you're preaching to yourself. Every day of your life, you're preaching a message to yourself. No matter what, whether you like it or not, when you wake up that morning and you start that new day, there's something that's going on and you're preaching something to yourself. And what we see in verse 5 and verse 11 in this passage is this guy isn't like encouraging or writing this. He's actually talking to himself and you're like, oh my God, this guy's lost it. He's weird. But we all do it, whether you know it or not. And what he's doing is he's preaching truth to himself and he's telling himself to hope in God. And that's so critical. And the reason why I know this is critical is this. After that meeting with that girl, every morning for 3 years, I would preach to myself. And from the moment that I could tell that she wasn't interested in me and then she couldn't look at me in the eye, the two thoughts that went through my mind literally almost every day for the next 3 years was, I'm not good enough. And I did something wrong. Over and over again, no matter how many Bible studies I led, I was a life group leader, I was leading Bible studies. Eventually, I became a pastor and I was preaching. No matter what I was studying or reading, that sermon was going on in my mind over and over again. And think about that. If that's what you hear every morning when you wake up, you did something wrong, you're not good enough, how is the rest of your day gonna go? Can I ask you just for a moment, what are those thoughts that have gone through your mind? What is a sermon that you're preaching when you woke up this morning? In the midst of the difficult season, maybe that sermon that you're preaching is that loved one said something to you and they told you that you were good for nothing or worthless, and that's been just playing over and over again in your mind. Maybe it's what you perceive other people think of you. Maybe a manager or a classmate or a friend said something, and that sermon's playing over and over again. What we see happening is when the psalmist was able to pour out his heart to God and be reminded of God's goodness and faithfulness over and over again, he paused and was preaching the truth to himself. And what was the words of his sermon? Hope in God. It wasn't, hey, like for sure things are going to get better. He says at the end as well, he says, you know, like I will praise God again. But there was no guarantee that he would go back to the temple. But he knew because he could hope in God that he would eventually be able to worship and praise God. And that's something I really want to encourage you guys to do, is that every day, every morning that you wake up to begin to preach truth. And this is why we talk about it. Reading your Bible, pray. Pastor Sam probably talks about this all the time, encourages you guys to do this. This is why we have life groups, so that you can have truth preached into your mind over and over again. And you guys understand that always around you, it's not just you preaching to yourself, the society around us, whether it's social media, the news, those things are reinforcing some form of a message to you. And it's important for you today just commit to a life of preaching the truth of Christ yourself daily. And the last thing I want to share before I close out is this. Not only preaching truth to your soul regularly, but to journey through your grief with others. To journey through your grief with others. And this is not directly from the passage, but just something from my story. You know, in the midst of my struggle with depression, I don't know why. I just wish I could go back and just slap myself in the face and just say, hey, talk to someone. But I didn't share with anyone what I was feeling. I would meet up with people. I would encourage people. I would pray for people. And one of the challenges of being a pastor, so let me tell you this. Ask your pastor how he's doing. Because people will just assume pastors are doing great. Hey, that pastor, look at him, Pastor Sam. Even though his mask is weird and looks kind of freaky, you're just like, hey, he must be doing great. Look at him. He's willing to wear that mask. He's doing awesome. But can I ask you guys, just from here on out, just as a pastor, you know, sometimes I just ask people how they're doing, just hoping. Because the normal human response is, oh, let me ask them how they're doing. And for pastors, they normally don't do that. And I'm not rebuking you guys. This is Ann Arbor Church. Hopefully you're listening in. But like, the reason I'm sharing this is because there were some people who asked me how I'm doing. And for whatever reason, I didn't share. And I remember there was a point, and I just can't go into all the details. If you want to know, man, it got really bad. Physically, I was experiencing symptoms and whatnot. And there's this one meeting where after the meeting, like, it was just like a elder team for our church. And then it just ended up being Pastor Pete and I. And then afterwards, like, he didn't even ask anything. I just said, Pastor Pete, I need to talk to you. You guys remember Pastor Pete? He's a tall Caucasian guy. And so he didn't even ask. I just started bawling. And I just said, like, all these things. And I can't go into the details because it wouldn't make sense. But I just poured out my heart to him that day. And I literally thought I was going to die. Physically, I thought there was a condition that I had that I was going to die soon. And Pastor Pete, like, he didn't probably realize the full extent of it, but he's like, Rabbi, I don't think you're going to die. And then literally the next day, I went to the hospital. I had my regular checkup, and I was sharing my symptoms with my doctor. My doctor was saying, you're probably struggling with anxiety or depression. And I was like, so I'm not going to die. He's like, yeah, you're not going to die. And literally from that point, it was just like breakthrough for me in experiencing just the steps towards freedom from depression. Now, it wasn't a quick fix. There was years of me preaching lies and a false gospel to my mind. But that was the beginning. And so I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with anything that way, something happened with a significant other, something happened with a family member, something's going on and you're feeling like something's not right, just talk to someone here. Just say, hey, can I just talk to you before we break down, before we go home? Don't leave this place without having that conversation with someone. You don't realize what that conversation could do. It could lead to maybe getting an appointment with a counselor or just whatever it might be. And I promise you, as someone who went through this, the importance of journeying through grief with others is so critical to experiencing freedom and be able to find hope in God. As I close out, I want to share one last quote from Paul David Tripp. And I love this because, again, I really believe we're at every point we're preaching to ourselves. It says here, we either preach to ourselves the gospel of loneliness, poverty, and inability, or the true gospel of God's presence, power, and constant provision. You are preaching to yourself a gospel that produces fear and timidity, or one that propels you with courage and hope. You are preaching to yourself of a God who is distant, passive, and uncaring, or of a God who is near, caring, and active. You are always preaching to yourself a gospel that causes you to rest in his wisdom, or a gospel that produces a bit of panic because it seems as if there are no answers to be found. I'm going to invite Danny and the rest of the worship team to come on up, and we'll close out here. Can I invite you just to bow your heads wherever you're at? Even though you might not be clinically diagnosed with depression, and some of you might, and please talk to someone today. Don't just be like, okay, I think I'm depressed, and just move on with your life. It really take the steps you need to. But I'm confident that as I'm sharing this, the reason Pastor Sam wanted me to share this and the reason we're sharing this is it's an opportunity that God has brought you here, whether here in person or on the live stream, to show you that you put your hope in something that is not a stable anchor. That you put your hope in something in this pandemic, that this quarantine, that God in his sovereignty and faithfulness is trying to point to you and show you that there's hope that is a firm anchor for your soul. And that hope is found in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you, wherever you're at, to lift up a prayer and say, God, I want that hope. I've looked for hope in all these places that have left me empty, left me hopeless. and I want it in you. And for those of you who have committed to follow Christ and you're feeling those feelings as well, can you begin to preach the truth of God's love, God's faithfulness, that God in his infinite wisdom has brought you here and that shows his pursuit, his steadfast, his hesed love for you. That even God, back in March when all this was happening, he knew that today that you would be here and that you'd be hearing this message because he wanted to set you free from the bondages of being cast down, discouraged. And you could do that by just lifting up a prayer and just preaching to your own heart just how much God loves you, just how powerful his grace and his mercy is for you, to remind your soul that there is someone that cares. Even if it looks like the rest of the world doesn't care, there is a God that is here, that is pursuing you in ways that you never could imagine. And of all those 10,000 things that God's doing, you're realizing one of them was to bring you here so that you could be encouraged. You could be reminded of hope that's found in him. And so, church, can I invite you, if you're here, to stand, or even if you're at home, if you could stand as well. And I want you just to place either one or both hands over your heart and begin to lift up prayers for your heart. Begin to preach a truth to your heart. Begin to tell your heart not what the world tells it, but to preach the truth of who you are because of what Christ has done on the cross. The hope that you have, the firm foundation that you have, the new identity that you have, the acceptance that you have because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Can you begin to just flood your heart with those truths and begin to celebrate and worship and thank God for his faithfulness and his goodness in your life? Let me pray for us, and then I'll hand it off back to Pastor Sam and the worship team to lead us. But please pray quietly or out loud. Just begin to just cry out to God and worship and preach the truth of the gospel. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that hope is not found in the created things of this world, but hope is found in you. And you gave us a hope when you allowed your son to be punished and to die so that our sins could be forgiven. And Abba, I pray that for every person here, every person that's tuning in on the live stream, that you will allow them to be refreshed by the hope that's ultimately found in you. Father, I pray that you will reveal right now whatever it is, pleasing people, a parent, a friend, a significant other, that job, that maybe the amount that we want in our bank account. Whatever it is we put our hope in, Father, we pray that we will repent and surrender those things to you and allow you to be the firm anchor for our hearts, for our lives. Abba, I pray that you will do that work here, and I pray especially for those that are tuning in that maybe yet haven't placed their faith in Christ. I pray that they will see that there is no other thing in this world that we can put our hope in but you, and that they will be able to take that step and lift up that prayer of faith saying, God, I need you. I need hope. I need that anchor, and I want to turn to you. I pray that you will hear that prayer and you will respond and encounter your children here today. We thank you. So church, let's do that. Lift up prayers of worship, prayers of celebration, and preach to yourself. Preach a sermon to yourself that you haven't heard before. Remind yourself of God's goodness and faithfulness and sovereignty and his steadfast love for you. Let's do that together as we respond and close out.